Minister Fred Coulter, I spent 60 years defending biblical truth against secular distortions and satanic influences in government, society, and religion. As a minister, author, and publisher, he's dedicated his life to upholding the true doctrines of Jesus Christ and preserving the integrity of Scripture. Minister Coulter is the translator of the Faithful Version Bible, widely recognized as one of the most accurate and reliable English translations of the Holy Bible. His work includes 15 books, countless articles, thousands of sermons and videos, all aimed at equipping believers with unshakable faith and understanding. His deep scriptural knowledge and fearless approach to exposing pagan Christianity, global lawfare, and spiritual deception make him a leading voice in the fight for biblical truth in these end times. And I want to mention these booklets. Judge Righteous Judgment, Folly of the Fools and Wisdom of the Wise. And number 3, Healing from God, Physical, Mental, Emotional, and Spiritual. Without further ado, we welcome him back with open arms, Minister Fred Coulter. Welcome back, sir. Great to have you on tonight.
Thank you very much, John. I'm happy to be back. And that was an interesting segment before me, especially with the Egyptians and the underground caverns that they had built. But it's very interesting indeed, because it shows one thing that is missed by everyone, which is this. In order to do that, they had to have electricity. And they had to have electricity very much in the form of what Tesla was working on. In other words, drawing the energy from the earth and then dispensing it in the air. Now, if you look at some of the drawings that have come out of some of these tombs, there's one that's really quite famous. And if you look at it carefully, it shows one of the workers holding something that looks like a box. And then from that box, a wire comes out, and then there appears to be a great light at the end of that cord that comes out of the box. So when you look at that, and that's one of the pictures that they have, that will show you they understood electricity, they understood the energy that's in the earth, and that's why they were able to do what they did. So we have to ask the question, what happened to them? Why did they fail? Huh? Why do all of these past civilizations fail the way that they do? Well, because they didn't judge righteous judgment, and they left God, and they forgot his commandments, which then automatically bring the penalty upon them for doing so. So that's quite an amazing thing. Now, just to show you the power of God, in spite of everything that men have done, that he has preserved his word, going clear back way to the beginning, and as I covered last time, before the ages of time. However, it is always true. There are no lies connected with God's way. There are lies connected with Satan, the devil, and the evil ones, whether they're spirit beings or whether they're physical beings. And even today, we have a political party out there called the Democrats. And the Democrats have been wondering, well, why did we lose? Well, they forgot to consult the Word of God. They forgot to be the way that God says that political leaders and religious leaders ought to be. They lived and went by lies. Everything that they do is based on a lie or transgression of the laws of God. Now then, when you lie, Who is your God? Well,
that would be the devil.
Satan the devil, father of lies. Now, that gives us a very interesting perspective here, because actually when you look at it from a biblical point of view, there are two methods of good and evil. The method of God, which is right and wrong according to his laws, his truth, his love, and everything that he has created. And he provides blessings for those who love him and serve him. And for those who sin, they have troubles and difficulties. If they repent, then they can be brought back to God the way that he wants, because God is love and he desires the people to come to him. Then you have the opposite way, which is Satan's way, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, some people don't understand about how Satan can operate, and we will see this is why all those civilizations fell. When they come to the point that there's open Satan worship and human sacrifice and the shedding of human blood, now we've got a lot of that still with abortion, and that's hanging over our heads. So everybody don't think that just because Donald Trump got in, everything's going to be hunky-dory and rosy-rosy, because it's going to be difficult, okay? But Satan's way of good and evil is that evil is good, and good is evil. For example, they say that the laws of God are harsh. Well, we'll look at that in a little bit here. But let's look at the epitome of Satan's way and what happens when any nation. Now, it doesn't matter whether they have the word of God or not, because God has revealed himself to all generations. And right now, today, we have the greatest revelation of God that has ever been. That is in the printed word and the digital word and in the airwaves and in the videos. However, the Bible is the word of God, and everything needs to be judged by the word of God. When we get into Satan's way of good and evil, what does he promise? What did he tell Adam and Eve when they decided to follow him? He said, if you eat of my tree, you shall not surely die. So he offered them an alternative, eternal life, which was the biggest lie that there ever was, because his way is death. So let's look at Satan's tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here is what it is. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, that's Satan's way of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, God's way is, you understand about God, you understand about his truth, you understand about his commandments, etc. We'll look at that in a minute here. Now, what happens when you give yourself over to Satan's way? Verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And isn't that what you were talking about with the teachers' union and everything there and this ridiculous nonsense down in South Africa and any other country of the world? Doesn't matter. I was watching the other night about the temple of Angkor over there in Cambodia, the biggest temple on earth, the highest pillars and so forth that they had there, and it was all covered up with the jungle until it was discovered, and now they have cleaned it out. And what did they find? A great civilization. But why did it fall? Right here. They went after Satan's tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now notice it says, woe to those that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to drink strong drinks, who justify the wicked for a bribe. That is the whole Democrat Party today. And what they are doing right now, with all of these demonstrations, with all of these fires, with everything that they're trying to resist, they don't want anyone to find out that for over 30 years, they have been getting billions and billions and billions of dollars that have been allocated in block amounts and then fed out by the bureaucracy to all of their high-level constituents. It's going to be absolutely amazing when Elon Musk and his crew gets done with that. You talk about evil, there it is. You talk about those things that cause problems and difficulties, and look at it. Is there anyone there? You show me one Democrat who's going to be willing to stand up and say, American people, we understand why you chose the Republicans and Donald Trump, who were trying to do what is right. But we have lied to you for decades.
And you can't really fix anything, Minister, because if you do them, well, you don't need any more money if you solve the problems, right?
That's right. That's right. See? That's why, you know, I look at it this way with what Donald Trump is doing. And he knows very well that God saved his life. And he has said it over and over and over and over again. And on a national level, you can't get any better than what Donald Trump is doing right now. He's not perfect. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about how you run a physical nation. And he's doing what is right. He's doing what is biblical, which he puts in the terminology common sense, because God's way is common sense. That's why we have the booklet, Judge Righteous Judgment. Now, that's quite a thing. We have a whole booklet on it, which goes in and starts out, God is supreme judge, and he's always there to judge every nation, and it gets down to every individual. See? Now, God does it this way because his judgment is going on all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time, and it is called his laws because they all work like the law of gravity. Now, let's talk just a little bit about the law of gravity right now, because Elon Musk rescued all of those who were stuck up on the International Space Station, brought them back. Now then, when they came back, they were so happy. But the problem is, you can't live there all the time. You've got to be on the Earth. Now, the law of gravity affects every one of us. We're sitting here, you're sitting there, everything is held down on the ground because of the law of gravity. And everything that is made, that we can make things out of, God made. And God said, be fruitful and multiply, and he gave humankind the whole earth. But he's also judge, okay? Now then, we need to understand this. A lot of people like to say, well, God is love, God is love. And he's going to forgive your sins, past, present, and future. So just give us this little teeny-weeny, itty-bitty prayer, and now you're saved forever. That's a lie. Okay? That's a lie. It is true, God is love. But they never tell you God wants you to love him. See? Because love is a two-way street. So God is love, but he's also judge. And he says he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. Now, that's the thing we need to have today, truth. Now, if there's one thing that Donald Trump is trying to do is bring truth, right? Yeah. And how are all the liars of the Democrats who believe in lies, who live lives, who have absolute hatred toward God, how are their lives? Well, according to the truth of God, they're wicked. And the one who's the head of their party has got to be none other than Satan, the devil himself. All right? Now, let's go on. It also says that God is the judge of all. Okay? So no one's going to get away from the judgment of God. Just like this. As long as you obey the law of gravity and do what you should, everything's going to be fine. Now, if you break the law of gravity by doing something contrary to it, now that happened to me recently. I fell on my right knee real hard, and it's been a difficult thing overcoming. I'm doing fine. But I broke the law of gravity accidentally and fell down, boom. Now, just because I believe in God, am I not subject to the laws of God? Of course I am. All of them, just like you, all human beings are, see? So God himself, he is judge. That's what we need to realize and understand. Now, let's examine what the standard is. What is God's way? So that's why we have the Holy Bible in its original order, and that's why it's one of the now being proclaimed on many different venues as one of the most accurate Bibles in English. Amazing. And that's what we give away. That's why you need to write for it. We will send it to you, no charge. Now, let's ask about the way of God. Well, God says his way is perfect. Thus his laws by which he makes his judgments, and all judgments are based on the law of God. Now, David wrote this concerning the law of God. It is perfect. See, because God is perfect. And everything, we'll read some of the laws here in a little bit. That's interesting. Now, he's also the high and holy one, inhabits eternity. Now, listen to this one here. This is quite a verse. God also dwells in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. So that's what it tells us about God and his way. And all of the things that he does by judgment and so forth are all based on his laws, and all of his laws are given in love. So it also says this concerning God. He loves judgment. He loves righteousness. And David declared this, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Now, you see, the thing is, people want to have happiness. But if they just do it their way, then it's not going to work. We'll look at God's way here in a minute, but let's come to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, for just a minute, and let's look at what it is, the way that human beings are. Because everyone thinks, well, I'll do this and it'll be fine. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. See? But what is your standard for doing what you're doing? Like you brought out there. I thought the things that you brought out before I started were just absolutely stunning. It shows the evil of men who follow Satan, the devil. Shows the difficulties that people get in when they leave out God. Now, one of the things that we have in this new little booklet, The Folly of Fools and the Wisdom of the Wise, It says that the fool says there is no God. All right? Now, who is a fool? Someone who rejects God. That's why in the Bible, God tells us. He doesn't want us to just say, I accept the Lord, that's it. No, he wants us to prove it. Now, let's come here to Proverbs 16 and verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue are from the Lord. He gave us all those abilities. Now then, we need to use them in a right way. If we use them in a wrong way, just like if you break the law of gravity, you're going to have some difficulty.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, we'll pick it up there after the break. But let's understand how important that it is. Judge Righteous Judgment, we'll get into that a little more deeply. But we will send you this booklet that goes into it, goes into all the scriptures. What is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is evil? How do you make judgments? What do you do with difficult things like that and so forth?
Very good. And how to obtain these booklets, too.
That's right.
Folks, it may sound really fundamentalist when you talk about Democrats and Republicans, because not every Republican is lily white. Everybody knows that. I mean, that goes without saying. But really, when you're trying to advocate things and convert people to your way of thinking by accepting things like abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, cross-dressing, all that stuff. These things are mentioned in Scripture. That's a really, really old book. That's a very, very old collection of books. So, this is what Solomon said. There is nothing new under the sun. So, who are these people really worshiping? Stand by. We'll be back. Our guest tonight is Minister Fred Coulter. We are prosecuting tonight's episode entitled Biblical Truth, Bible Truth versus Global Deception with Minister Fred Coulter and me, John B. Wells, host of the program. Thank you very much for that. Okay, Minister Fred, I invite you to take it away some more.
Okay, thanks for all the programs that you have done and the years of standing for what is right. And you've seen everything come and go in your lifetime through all the programs and all the people that you have met and have come and gone. And it's the same way with me for being a minister as long as I have. Okay. Now,
thanks for that.
We're going to read some proverbs. These proverbs were written 3,000 years ago. Now, this is to demonstrate the validity of God's way, his laws, his commandments, and even the way we need to think, that transcends all civilizations, all different peoples everywhere. Now, let's look at this. The thoughts of the wicked, Proverbs 15 and verse, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Now, look at the abominations that we have today. All transgenderism, all of those operations on kids. And they want to destroy. They don't want to upbuild. So that's why it says it's an abomination. But the contrast to that is that the words of the pure are pleasant words, and that's based on love, that's based on truth, that's based on proper judgment, you know. Now, let's read one more. The heart of the righteous studies to answer. We try and find what is the truth. What are the problems and difficulties? How can they be overcome? Now, that's what righteousness is. Righteousness means no more than this. You are doing things the right way, which comes from God. Now, for all the evangelicals out there who have the lying notion that somehow one of the apostles of God, or even Christ himself, has done away with the laws of God. Now, you go to Matthew 4 and Luke 4, and I'll quote it to you. under the temptation of Satan the devil, Satan came and told Jesus, why don't you turn these stones into bread if you're the Son of God? What was his answer? Now, I want you to think on this. There wasn't one single word of the New Testament that was written. And I want you to think on this. If he came to destroy the law, he would have said so. But he said he didn't come to do that. So what was his answer to Satan the devil? Man, that means any man, woman, or child, regardless of age, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, can you in all good conscience say that the law has been done away? No, you can't. See, because if you do, you join Satan's side. Now, let's come here to chapter 16, and let's look at it this way. All the ways of a man, that means a man, a woman, young and old, whatever, are clean in their own eyes. Doesn't a thief think he's going to get away with it? Doesn't those who commit adultery think they're going to get away with it? Don't those who are burning up Elon Musk's Teslas everywhere, don't they think they can get away with it? But God weighs the spirit. Now, that means God knows the thoughts. Think on this. Job had to finally come to this conclusion that no thought can be withheld from God. See? He knows. Okay. Now, it says, but the Lord weighs the spirit. So in other words, with the laws of God that work automatically, truth and error, right and wrong, they happen. Okay? Now, what is the solution? We'll look at it here because this becomes important. Then we'll get into the steps of correct judgment. Right. Verse 3 says, commit your works unto the Lord. Okay? That's whatever you're doing. Doesn't matter. You commit it to the Lord. You ask for his blessing. You ask for his guidance. You ask for his understanding. Now, notice what this does. You have problems mentally. You have problems emotionally. That's why we have the new book out, God's Healing. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Verse 3, right here in Proverbs 16. And your thoughts shall be established. You will make right decisions. You will do what is right. You will like to do what is right. And furthermore, you'll have the ability to detect all the lies of the evil ones. Now, let's come down here to verse 6. Because God wants us all to improve. God wants us all to get better. So it says here, by mercy and truth, which comes from God, you sin, you transgress the laws, you're sorry, you go to God, you repent of it, he forgives you, that's his mercy. Now, then you need to follow the truth, and we'll look at that. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord, men turn away from evil. Now, verse 7, and then we'll go to the Ten Commandments.
Very good.
When a man's ways please the Lord, what does please the Lord? Loving him, keeping his commandments. Now, everyone likes to have the love of God coming to them, but you all have to honestly ask the question, do you really love God? Huh? What does the Bible tell us in the New Testament? Yes, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you do that? Do you want God's love? Well, you've got to love him back. And you can't love him back by going your own way. you can't love him back by saying that he did away with the law when he didn't do with the law, because the law is based on the love of God, because God is love. Now, notice this. You got problems? When a man's way pleased the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, that is an amazing verse. 3,000 years ago. See, because the human way is no different today than way back then. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 6, and then we will see what God wants us to do, to give us stability, to give us understanding, to give us love, to know how to take care of our children, to know how to choose the right wife, to know how to do the things you need to do that will be successful. Look at how many people, just look at all the ads on television. Oh, take this pill so you feel good. Take this pill because you have mental problems. No, you get on your knees and repent to God. And you ask him to help you. And he says, he promises that he will help you. But you must get up off your knees and you must pray in your praying to God that you will love him. See? Because that's the most important thing. And the biggest problem is with people today, they have so many false gods, be they actual Satan and demons, or be they things or cars or planes, or be their jobs or other people, whatever it may be. Now then, let's see what God says, because when we come to God, then God's blessing is going to be upon us. God will be with us. He will show us. He will teach us. That's why we study the Word of God. And I can tell you this, I still study the Word of God every day. And you know, there are things that I'm learning after reading things that I have read over and over and over again. And the reason is because the Bible has been inspired by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. That's why it's necessary to translate it truthfully. That's why it's necessary not to interject our own ideas and things into the Word of God. And that's where the Catholics have gone wrong, the Jews have gone wrong, evangelicals have gone wrong. So here's the whole thing. He said, here's the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. All right? Now he's talking to the Israelites who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, Egypt is a type of sin, and living in sin is bondage. So you can look at that today, because when you read Revelation 11, God calls Jerusalem today Sodom and Egypt. Huh? 3,000 years ago. Now then.
Amazing. That's amazing.
It is. Now, this is why it's good. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, why? Because he wants to bless you. Any other thing between you and God then becomes a second commandment, idol. Why make an idol and bow down to it? Huh? What is that going to do? You carve it, you cover it with gold, and then you bow down to it? It's not going to do anything for you, so he doesn't want you to do it. So he says here, so all Catholics, listen up. When you walk into the cathedral next Sunday, which is not the Sabbath, and you look around all these statues and all the pictures and all the things, you shall not make a graven image to yourself in the likeness of anything of the heavens above or on the earth beneath in the waters under it. You shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them. What good is that going to do? That's not God. Huh? Have you ever prayed to a halibut?
No. No. Let me ask you this something, Mr. Fred. And yeah. You know, there's some Catholics out there, but I'll just say it because, you know, because this is what I'm thinking. It makes no sense to me that someone prays to Jesus's mother, and there's a statue of her right there, and they're talking to her and holding her rosary and kissing it and all that. What is that?
That is pure idolatry. Let me give you a little heads up on it. That has nothing to do with Mary, who then bore Jesus, who was God manifested in the flesh. All right? That comes from ancient Babylon. And guess what her name was as Queen of Heaven? Ishtar. What day is coming up pretty quickly? Easter.
Yes.
How pagan are they? So you're quite correct. What good does that do? She can't replace Christ. She's not in heaven. Because Jesus said no one has gone to heaven. All right? Let's put this in for a little sidebar on the side. It says there in Matthew, the first chapter, that Jesus was the firstborn of Mary. All right? Flesh. Now, a lot of people like to say they're born again, but they're not. Let's answer the question. You come to Revelation, the first chapter, and it says of Jesus, the firstborn from the dead. Huh. Born again means being resurrected from the dead. So then you come to 1 Corinthians 15. It says, Christ, the first fruit, and those that are his at his coming. Well, no one's in heaven right now. But everybody believes it. Why do they believe it, see? Because they've got idols. They misinterpret what God has said. All right? Now then, he shows this, that about not bowing down to it, no image, anything above. It says, you shall not bow yourself down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Who are those who hate God? The ones who say the commandments are done away. The one who says there is no law. The ones who say there is no God. Because it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now then, notice what he says. But, showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do you want steadfast love from God? Then you love him. How do you love him? By doing what he says. How do you communicate to him? By getting on your knees and praying. And you say, well, I wonder how God can hear me. Well, how does your stupid smartphone work? You see any wires coming and going? No. That's because of the particular waves, electronical waves, to carry it. Well, don't you think God knows what your thoughts are? Don't you think that when your prayers come up to God, that they will be heard? Now, you might not have any wires going up there, but you believe in God. Then it says, don't take the name of God in vain. And the way they take God's name in vain is accrediting God for something that is not true. Then he says, the next one, the fourth one. Now, this is interesting, number four. That's a Sabbath command. Everyone likes to say, well, it was changed. The Jews like to say, well, this is for us only. Really? No, it's for all people. All the time, everywhere. Why did the flood come in Genesis 5? Because the thought of everyone was only wicked continually. What did Jesus say of today before his coming? As it was in the days of Noah before the flood, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What do we have today? The same thing. And your program, John, covers all the time, all the sins, all the wretchedness, all the stupidity that men go through. I couldn't believe what you were telling me about South Africa. That's just nothing but satanic idiocy.
Exactly.
Amazing. So he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days work and labor. Seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Now, he says he owns it. Now, if he owns it and he has created you and he has given you life, he's given me life, he's given us the spirit of man, and when you're converted, you receive the spirit of God in addition to it, the Sabbath becomes a very important thing. And that's the day that we are to learn. That's the day that we have a special blessing in understanding the word of God. Now, then he says the next commandment is what? Now, have I read anything that's harsh? Have I read anything that is against being good to you as human beings? That God says, I love you, I want to help you, and here's how you can be in contact with me. Whew, there it is. Now, the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother as the Lord God has commanded you so that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you. See, God wants it well. Look at the youth today. Look at the pitiful thing, the drugs, the homelessness, the fatherlessness, the abortion, all of those things. They are stench in the nostrils of God. See? Honor your father and mother. You want to live long? Look at all of those in Hollywood that now brag that they worship Satan. Look how young they die. Huh. I wonder why. Yeah?
You got a point there. You really do. Yeah. Keep rolling.
Yeah. Now, the next one, in English, it says, you shall not murder. But in the Hebrew, it's very dramatic. No murder. No adultery. No stealing. Do not bear false witness. And you shall not covet. In other words, evil starts in the human mind. Now, that's why we have judgment. That's why we have to know how to make right judgments. And so this booklet, there's no other booklet out there like this. And we sent you a copy of it, John, so you got it back there. But that's really quite a thing. So I guess we're getting pretty close to a break here. So if you want to interject anything getting up to the break, that's fine. We can cover it here. But all of these things are because God loves us. He wants us to love him. He wants to bless us. And the thing that is important is that through Jesus Christ, he wants to give us eternal life. But we're not going to get eternal life our way. We get it through God and his way and his spirit and his love and his truth. And that's the way that we live in the flesh now. See?
I do, and it seems in some ways that the deck has really been stacked against us here because we are in the same way that, you know, a graven image is something that is fashioned of wood or stone. So if you are not supposed to worship graven images, then I go back to this, the practice of the Catholic Church. There's some great people who are Catholics, but I think they just, I'm not really sure they know or have thought deeply about what this might possibly mean. Same thing goes for the Statue of Liberty. Oh, far afield? Not really. We'll be back. Stand by. You know, folks, this stuff goes so deep and people think, I mean, I have walked among them. I have been one of them. You see these things, you hear what is said about them, and it's expressed to you in an articulate manner. It doesn't sound like nonsense. It sounds like the real thing. So you tend to, because you're not deeply into it, you take it on face value and you go on down the road. But now some people will say this is not the case. But do you know the Statue of Liberty was given to America by French Freemasons? And her mirror image stands on an island in the River Seine in Paris. Freemasonry was founded by Weishaupt in 1776. Now, France, as we go ahead and light up Minister Coulter's line. You know, Minister, I saw a story the other day. I didn't read it. I just went past it. Otherwise, I would have mentioned it, but I'll mention it now. It was just as good, right? 2 days old or whatever it was. It's still as good as it was then. Some of the French over there in government are saying they want their Statue of Liberty back. It's like, well, that'd be fine.
Yeah, send it back, because it's actually the Whore of Babylon. It's actually Queen Semiramis.
Yes, that's Ishtar.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, Athena. We've got a book coming out that is going to be absolutely mind-blowing. The effect of Athena today. It's everywhere. Now, let's look at something concerning Satan that people don't think about. See, God doesn't want us to blindly accept what anyone tells us because it sounds good. He wants us to prove all things. And what you do, you search out the Bible. Now, here is what people do not understand. If you serve Satan, he will give you a benefit for a while until he's done with you, and then your life is going to be cut short. Now, remember what I said there about Matthew 4:4, when Jesus answered that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. All right? Now then, he says this right here.
Yep.
And his second temptation was, he said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, and his angels give charge concerning you, that you don't dash your foot. Misuse of Scripture. That's what you have to be careful of. So Jesus said again, it is written. So he quoted the word of God correctly, see? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. All right? And after that, the devil took him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now then, what did he promise Jesus? A benefit. See, right? Remember, God gives blessings for good. Satan gives benefit for destruction. Think of that in the way of some of these drugs. Try a little cocaine. See how good you feel? Isn't that nice? How'd you like to feel that way all the rest of your life?
Yeah, if more is good, then too much must be just right. Sorry.
Yeah, give me all I can take, huh?
Okay.
Now, that's the way it is. People are not told to make right choices. They don't know how to make judgments, and yet they have judgments every day. You got to know when you get up, when you go to bed, what you're going to eat, what you dress, where you're going, how much gas you put in your car or charge in your Tesla, whatever. How, or your motorcycle doesn't make any difference. Now, let's review. I don't know if we'll get through all of them, but 17 keys to righteous judgment. Now, this has to do in everything in your life. We all make judgments. All right? All right. So it says here, the king establishes the land by justice. To do righteousness and justice is more pleasing to the Lord than sacrifice. A king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters away all evil. It's got to be right judgment. Now, here's the key. It is joy to the righteous to do justice, and that is judge righteous judgment. Very first thing to remember on it. Number one, remember the judgment is God's, not yours. So it has to be according to the will of God. Now, I'm not going to get into detail on these because we'll just review this. Number two, the first thing you need to know about making right judgment is know yourself. You have to know your weaknesses so you don't give in to them. You have to know how you need to do what is right. So with that, you get sin out of your life, because sin, which is breaking the commandments of God, takes away the ability to make right judgment. see? Because let's just take the sin of adultery. The sexual pleasure is so profound that those who participate in it think it's right. But where does it end? That's why God says, have your husband, have your wife, love them. Now, number three. In every case, hear all the facts. Do not jump to conclusions. Isn't that what we do? And isn't that what Satan wants us to do? Oh, believe this. Well, this is good. Do this, do that, do the other thing. Doesn't tell you it's got a kickback and a hangover. Right. So this is one of the most vital requirements. And you can't let your own emotions and everything get in it. So you've got to hear all the facts, not just some of them, all the facts. Number four. Always be open-minded and hear all aspects of a situation. Now, for example, when you go back to John, the 8th chapter, here's this woman taken in adultery. And the scribes and Pharisees holler up before Jesus and they say to Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Huh. So what did Jesus do when they said, Moses says she ought to be stoned. What do you say? So he stooped down and wrote in the ground. A lot of people wonder what he was writing. And then he got up and he said, the one who is without sin, you cast the first stone. Huh, well, none of them did it. And they went out from the oldest to the youngest. And so then Jesus was standing there in the middle of the people, and the woman was standing right in front of him. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none, Lord. And he said, I do not condemn you, go and sin no more. Now, people look at that and say, that's forgiveness. No, that would have been a mistrial to kill her. Why? Because the law of Moses didn't say, bring the woman. The law of Moses said, bring the man and the woman.
Yeah.
So what he did, he corrected a mistrial. But what did he say? Go and sin no more. That's not forgiveness. That's instruction on what to do. So what Jesus did, he got all the facts. And what was missing by these religious leaders to try and trap him was that they didn't bring the man. How can you catch a woman committing adultery without the man? Now you tell me that, John.
Can't. It takes two.
Yeah. Okay. So you got to get all the facts and you have to hear every aspect of it so that you get it right. Okay. Number five, never render a judgment without hearing the entire matter. See, and that's what people do. They come in and try and explain it and someone says, well, don't bother me with all of that nonsense. Well, if you want to know what's right or wrong, what is good or evil, well, then you better sit down and listen. And you better know the laws of God. You better know the laws of the land. You better know your own heart and mind so you're not going to be carried away with stupidity and idiocy. Then it says here in the Proverbs, he who is hasty in spirit exalts folly, Proverbs 14:29. Now, that's exactly what you were covering with all of the papers concerning the death of RFK and the CIA. Huh. Wonder if we're ever still going to get it. See? All right. Terrible. Number six, never look only to circumstances and outward appearance, because people can look so good. but be so evil. Huh. See? That's quite an amazing thing. Jesus said that.
And the flip side of that coin is people can look really guilty, and they're not.
Yeah, that's right, because they're afraid. Okay?
Sorry to interrupt. Keep rolling.
Yeah, so Jesus said concerning that, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, I have this sentence written in this paragraph. We can all be happy that Christ will always look at the heart and the intent and always judge righteous judgment. And then Paul writes, do not look at things according to the outward appearance. Now, because he says there in Hebrews 13 that people have entertained angels unawares. What if an angel comes in as a lowly, dirty, crawling beggar, but it's really an angel of God, and you don't help the poor individual? You don't extend to him what he needs. Now then, number 7, this is key. Discern the attitudes and motives of those involved, including with your children when there's an argument against it. And you got to sit down and go through the whole thing. Okay? So you have to be critical to sense and understand the attitude or spirit of those that might come with information about sins and faults of others. Huh. And remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, do not judge to condemn. A judge righteous judgment, okay? Number 8, we're just about halfway done, so I think we'll make nearly all of it. Never be a respecter of persons. Huh, isn't that interesting? See, well, you know who he is, you know who she is. Now, you can't say that of them. No, you've got to be righteous in your judgment. Don't respect the persons. So here's what the Proverbs tell us. You shall not follow, do not go along with the majority of people if they are wrong. You shall not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shall you be partial to a poor man in his cause, because just because he's poor or downtrodden. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, and there is no respect of persons with God. Now, see, just practical things in your life. Like I said last time I was on, the way you begin to understand the Bible, if you haven't been acquainted with it, start with the book of Proverbs. Now then, number 9, never accept a gift. Hello, Biden, where are you? How much money did you take? And is that why you stood by and sought to destroy this nation, to cover your dirty little tracks and all of your thievery and all of the things that you have done? Huh, maybe. Because you use the automatic signature thing, that none of your pardons of you or your son or your cohorts is legal. Watch out. Never accept a gift. It says here, you shall take no bribe, for the bribe blinds the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. And isn't that true? I've seen that within even the churches of God, that they won't admit and confess the sins of the leaders in the church when a lot of people knew them. When one of the evangelists was so profligate that later he admitted to taking 200 women, and yet we were told in the first, that's all a bunch of lies. Number 10. Always be totally fair and impartial. All right? Number 11, educate yourself on God's laws, his statutes, and judgment. Here's instruction from Paul to Timothy. Diligently study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, you can wrongly divide it. You can wrongly make a decision on it. You can wrongly apply it to people if you don't know it correctly. See, all right. Now, number 12, in difficult cases, seek counsel. That becomes important. No one is a sole knowledge of everything to himself when it comes to relationship between people and problems and difficulties that have come along. Now, here's a proverb. In a multitude of wise counselors, there is safety. Without counsel, purposes are frustrated, but in a multitude of counsel, they are established. So that's seek wise counsel, all right? That's why you need a good wife. That's why you need a good husband. That's why you both need to work together, understand each other, love each other, love your children, love God. Number 13, think of the long-term effects. All right, that's very important to keep in mind because you never know how long you're going to live. You never know what the circumstances are going to be. So you need to understand as much as you can, if you do thus and such, what's going to be the long-term effect of it? Because, just like one man said, well, on all important matters and decisions, sleep on it. So that's good advice. And the scriptures say, and here's a very important one, where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Now, think of that in relationship to what Donald Trump is doing right now with the things he's doing. He's had 4 years to think and plan and do and understand, and he's had lawfare after lawfare after lawfare before he was elected, and he's got lawfare and lawfare and lawfare and lawfare here. And none of the Democrats think of the long-term effects of what they're trying to do, but may they just destroy themselves and spare us all from their evil. Number 14, absolutely. Always make your decisions and judgments specific and clear so it's not muddled. You go back and look at the Ten Commandments. Are those easy to understand? Yes, they are. And God says, if you do them, you love me. See, the key to the whole thing and everything that we do is this, that we believe God, that we love God, that we keep his commandments. Okay? All right.
Still got about a minute.
Okay. There are a couple more here. All right. We'll save that for another time. But you get the booklet and you get the one on fools and folly and healing. And you ask for the Bible, we'll send it to you free. We don't charge you for anything. It's like the one preacher who gave the message on debt-free. Well, what was the final word of it? If you want to be debt-free, send your money to me.
Oh, you know, we're going to have to talk about organized religion on one of our visits, Minister, because I saw George Carlin saying, okay, there's a man who lives in the sky and he has a set of 10 rules. And if you break any of those rules, he's going to send you to a place of fire and brimstone and suffering forever. But he loves you and he needs money. He always needs money. And this was his take on organized religion. So I don't I was thinking,
yeah, send your money to me and you'll be debt free.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you very much for sharing all of this wonderful information with us, and I really mean it. And please come back just as soon as you want to, Minister Fred Coulter. God bless
okay,
you.
Hey, whenever. Thanks for having me on.
You're most welcome. Thank you. Whew. My head feels like those depictions of Moses coming down from the mountain in the 14th century Christian arts, like the size of a jack-o'-lantern right now. But it's all the straight stuff, folks. Now get into it. Your eternal life may depend on it. In fact, I'm sure it does. God bless you, everyone, and good night.